Hello and welcome to Search Content Management. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. Today we're going to tackle a subject that's been on my mind for a bit, which is the topic of Office 365 services and compliance and security. And, you know, as companies are considering moving to applications and suites in the cloud like Office 365, there are implications for compliance and data security. They have to really think about what's going to happen to their data once it resides there. So while there's some estimates suggesting that Office 365 adoption is due to, say, more than double over the next 2 years, going from somewhere in the 20% range to the mid 40% range, there are some hurdles for companies that they really need to think about, particularly in regulated industries. Office 365 services are somewhat inconsistent in this area of archiving practices and compliance. So what we're going to look at is various services within the Office 365 suite, including Skype for Business, Yammer, and some of the other tools, and talk a little bit about archiving practices there and whether they're sort of ready for companies and ready for prime time, or whether companies are going to have some question about consistency and practices across the suite. So today, to discuss some of these issues, I have with me Sean Schell, who is the VP of Consulting at Hitachi Consulting. So welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Lauren. Always good to be here.
It's great to have you back to talk about this subject. So I'm looking forward to it. And so my first question is kind of a basic one. When we talk about compliance, what does that really mean in the context of Office 365 services?
Compliance in general really describes a set of activities or requirements that an organization has to adhere to, whether they're regulatory in nature, like SOX compliance, for example, or HIPAA, or whether they're company policies that relate to auditing requirements. It's usually not an optional activity, and it tends to have a number of requirements that are prescriptive in nature, in the sense that there's a very prescribed set of activities an organization has to engage in order to satisfy either a regulatory requirement or a policy requirement.
So now there are some compliance concerns related to Office 365, and I alluded to it a little bit in my intro. So what are some of those considerations when companies are thinking about moving to Office 365?
In typical consultant fashion, the answer is often it depends. And in this case, it's largely true. First, we're moving to the cloud, which fundamentally means that we're taking data and moving it to a data center that is not owned or managed by the organization itself. And that immediately sets off alarm bells in many organizations, because now they feel as if they have no control over that data. Beyond that, with Office 365 in particular, it's not one product. It's a series of products or a suite of products, and each one of these products operates a little differently, has a different purpose: SharePoint versus Exchange versus Skype for Business versus Dell versus Sway. While they're in one suite, they do operate differently, and that presents slightly different challenges depending on which of these products you're talking about and what rules in the context of compliance you have to adhere to.
And so now let's dig into this a little bit more. In terms of, say, Exchange and email services, Microsoft has developed some pretty well-entrenched and established practices for archiving and meeting compliance requirements. But what has Microsoft done to address organizational concerns in some other services?
And that's an excellent question. So you're right, Exchange, messaging in general, that email context, fairly well established, fairly well mature in the context of Office 365. If we look at other products, for example, SharePoint or Yammer, we have slightly different stories. SharePoint probably, out of the tools that are in the Office 365 space, probably the next most mature concepts like legal holds and discovery, e-discovery, the ability to audit activities within SharePoint, the ability to place legal holds on documents, and the ability really to control information gives you the ability, gives you the opportunity to acknowledge that you've met the standard that might be in place for, say, SOX requirements, for example, or for HIPAA. When you get into Yammer, well, maybe that's a bit of a different story. Yammer, if you use the free version, for example, you don't have as much control over who has access to your data. If you're using the paid version, there's some security administration, but probably not as robust as SharePoint, for example. If you want to archive conversations, well, you have to jump through some hoops to archive Yammer conversations. Is there a lifetime that you can apply? Well, no, not really. So again, it speaks to this idea that it's not as simple as saying Office 365 compliance, we got that covered, let's move on. It's going to be a product by product adventure.
So, and when I've spoken with records managers, they've alluded to the idea that archiving social media conversation is a particular, or enterprise social networking conversation can be a particularly, you know, sticky issue in terms of how to configure the tools for to capture the data for the right period of time, to capture all the conversation. Is that something that you've discussed with companies that they're struggling with?
I think it is a struggle. We've heard it from clients. And I think one of the challenges you kind of hinted at, and that is that when we're dealing with social, and we're dealing with enterprise social in particular, if we look at just Office 365, let's talk about conversations. Conversations can happen inside of SharePoint. Conversations can happen inside of Yammer. Conversations could be comments embedded in a Word document stored in SharePoint or in Yammer. They can be held in OneDrive. You can begin to use Skype for Business, and Skype for Business has a whole conversational element as well. And depending on what it is you're trying to capture, and let's use the example of an e-discovery situation. So you are served with a notice that you have to now go through the process of discovering content related to a particular matter, a legal matter. I think it's difficult for organizations to go out and find all of the content because there are so many places where it could be hidden or stored, not necessarily stored all the right way. And in certain cases, the nomenclature is going to be sufficiently different enough that even search tools may not be able to find what it is that you're looking for. And so Microsoft in Office 365 has addressed some of those concerns, again, within individual tools, but not universally and not consistently.
Right. So now you've talked about some of the technology challenges, but as is often the case, there are technology challenges, and then there are also sort of people and process challenges to address. Mm-hmm. Is that the case here? Are there specific business processes and policies that companies really need to think about here?
Well, we often talk about, in the context of email in particular, data loss protection. And data loss protection is Microsoft's way of describing this idea that you have certain confidential information or personally identifiable information, sensitive data, that you want to protect, and you want to protect it from being lost. And whether that loss is about documents walking out on somebody's USB drive, or it's that they've forwarded an email, or they've copy and pasted content from one email to another and sent it out, it's hugely scary to organizations, especially for those organizations that might be highly regulated, like banking or healthcare. And without using the sledgehammer approach, meaning you can only use these three tools are really, really well locked down and so forth, it's kind of difficult to control 100% of that problem all at once. And Microsoft has built DLP tools into their solution. They've built information rights management into their solution. And really, what you're speaking to is, what business process do I have to change? What culture do I have to affect within an organization to make security and data protection important? And that's not an easy problem to solve, but it's one that really requires a lot of repetition. And if we were talking about collaboration tools, it's also a lot about adoption. We need to get employees to understand the importance of the process of protecting data, of adhering to specific regulatory requirements, and managing content in a very responsible way.
Right. So you need to kind of retool some of your processes before you can even really think about archiving appropriately.
Yeah, right. I mean, archiving is interesting, but it could also be a detriment. And, you know, the famous case of the Microsoft emails that led to the consent decree against Microsoft a couple of decades ago, and it was an email from Bill Gates. He was discussing things very openly in email that became discoverable. And when they became discoverable, it became a part of what the government used against Microsoft to demonstrate that they had acted inappropriately, and it directly led to a whole bunch of restrictions they had placed on their business. And that was the whole IE separating it from the operating system. So while we can protect data from being lost potentially through email, we can't necessarily always regulate what people say and do. And when we archive it, what we're doing is we're simply saying, we're going to preserve that really bad conversation for a very long time and make it available potentially to a counterparty in a lawsuit.
Right. Make it part of legal action. And
exactly.
That'd be harmful. Exactly. So we've covered some of this, but just finally, what kinds of gaps, if any, should companies ensure they address as they adopt Office 365?
I think the gaps manifest themselves differently based on the product. And so there's probably not one sweeping piece of advice aside from when we talk about Office 365, pay attention to the idea that it's not one product. And the example that Lauren, you and I talked about earlier was Sway. Sway is a brand new way of, quote, telling a story. It's the new PowerPoint for the 21st century. And that's all well and good, except Sway is entirely cloud-based. It does, in fact, have a very different modality to telling a story or presenting information, but it also has very few controls that allow you to control that information and probably not a great deal of control around compliance. So archiving, for example, how do I archive a Sway story or presentation? And it's that gap that I think is the most severe, and that is pay attention to what products your employees are using, carefully control how those products are being introduced to your employee population, ensure that the product has a minimum level of compliance capability built in. And Microsoft has a number of tech ed articles specifically focused on Office 365 compliance that are excellent references for what is possible. You know, can you do e-discovery? Is encryption possible? Can you put legal holds on things? Is there DLP built in? Does it fall into a situation where you might not be HIPAA compliant in the healthcare space because of the way data is handled in the data center? That happens to be something Microsoft does pretty well on. But, you know, it's an example of a very industry-specific set of regulations that may or may not have implications for what tools within the Office 365 suite you allow your employees to engage in. Another good example is, do I use Office or OneDrive on-prem or in the cloud? The default is in the cloud, but for various reasons, that may violate some regulatory or company policy, and you may need to deploy OneDrive on-prem. Now, that's not something that speaks to a gap in Office 365 more than it's a, let's look at the tool, identify what we need to accomplish, what rules we have to adhere to, and then choose the right implementation.
Right. Gotcha. Well, I would imagine that these are subjects that we're going to return to over the course of this year as we watch developments in the Office 365 suite, and we just have other conversations as well about what's going on in the enterprise content management space. So, Sean, as always, thank you for joining us and shedding light on some of these issues.
Thank you, Lauren.
And we hope to have you back soon. And for more on Office 365 and enterprise content management, you can always check out searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.